both thanks to everyone who's given of their time on a Sunday night to be motive extra learning, and the same as you have been motive extra learning, may Hakadosh Baruch Hu be motive to all of you time and Menucha Sanefesh and Sanosa and everything that Gezunt, everything that everyone needs. It's not just you who have given of your time. I must tell you that Rav Osher Flegg, I'll tell you the secret, Rav Osher Flegg has come here to collect for the kollel, and I've persuaded him to spend this time here to give a shiur. And I've persuaded him that over here, that since all of you have come to hear a shiur, that Amit Hashem, Shvok will see to it that this is something that's worthwhile and nothing will be lost as a result. And I'm going to make sure that Rav Osher is looked after by those people who he would have seen during this time. So very much from the serious nefesh, he's come to give us this shiur. And I have very great pleasure in asking Rav Osher Flegg, who heads a kollel, a very elitist kollel, very non-judgmental way of very fine, quite mature men of very high caliber, sons of Rosh Yeshiva, a promising future, really very much at the cutting edge of those Talmid Chachamim who will be of great use to Klal Yisrael. We're sitting there, one of the people who learned that, I can just tell you, was a chavrusa of mine. But the only reason why the chavrusa works, he's got such a good head, and knows so much more than I did, is because he's got good midas with it. So we used to learn together, and he is here in this kollel, and I can tell you that the caliber of the people concerned is fantastic. So that chus alone, I think, is worthwhile, but to mitzvah Hashem, the shir will speak for itself. Moshe.
First of all, I want to thank Rav Cohen for inviting me to give this year. I'm sure enough to tell you, you have a schus of having a Rav who's a Ben Aliyah. I've seen many Rabbonim, they come to their Kehillahs, and more or less where they've attained up to that point, that's more or less where they stay. They get into a certain rut and they continue to get used to it. And every time I come and see Rav Cohen, he's just more involved in trying to organize that there should be more knowledge and awareness of the learning of halacha, and to have people participate in this adventure of it, to trying to revive England and having people walking around and thinking of all kinds of issues that are connected to Torah. I think he's done a lot in town, really, to making people also B'nai Aliyah. And it's wonderful to come to see that in Golis that such a thing can be done. And B'nai Hashem, you should continue right there to have Hatzlach. One of the Avachim of Esmendish was actually an unfortunate situation. But Moshe Halberstam was a big poysek in Yerushalayim, and he was nifter suddenly recently, in the last few months. And his son was one of our musmachim, and today he's sitting in the Beis Hayroah of his father, being a Ma'alim Mokim, and passing shilas that he, in the one sense, he's still young, but on the other hand, he was thrust into it. And we hope that many of our other Talmidim will continue to be able to fill positions of Dayonis, and to be able to help Klal Yisrael in bringing them the shilas towards Poskim. The subject of this evening is a little bit complicated, in the sense that we're going to have to deal with sources, with Makaris, about the problem of indirect activities which are caused both on Shabbos and on damages. This is called groma. In other words, it's not a direct activity, it's an indirect activity. For example, it's very common, people can be walking the streets on Shabbos, and the lights go on from houses or automatic walkways. The street lights change. Today, in many buildings, they will not provide security unless you have a camera. And many shuls on Shabbos have the cameras affixed to shuls. And there's a problem, obviously, of being filled on Shabbos. And on the other hand, you need the security. I was in South Africa recently. There they had a shaila that there's tremendous crime rate over there. And the Schwarzes know when Jews go to daven in shul, their houses are empty Friday night for 7 hours, and there's been all over tremendous thefts, and it's mamish pikuach nefesh. It's not a regular theft. The people, if they get to their house and there's people in the house, It's a very, very serious problem of safety. And then the Shabbat was, are they allowed to, under the circumstance, activate the alarms in the houses? And that these are not only Shabbat questions, but also in the zikin and damages, a person can have a remote control device to fling open the gate of the parkway or the hospital emergency wards. And there could be somebody standing behind the gate or an object behind the gate and it gets destroyed or the person gets hurt. And these are all instances of grommas. And Shabbat has its own definitions of groma. And Nizikin damages have its definitions of groma. And the question that we're going to discuss this evening is, what is the relationship between the field of groma regarding Shabbat halachas and the field of groma relating to damage halachas? Which is more chamor, which is more strict, which is less strict? Are they related? Are they two separate areas? This is what we're going to discuss this evening. And then try to come to some practical conclusions. Now, in Chazal, there seem to be contradictions to this question of which is more serious, a groma vis-a-vis Shabbos or a groma vis-a-vis damage. There's a very famous Gemara, which is brought both in Baba Kama, Daf Samech, and in Babasra, Lo Yachfor. It speaks about a person blows, Libo Belif Saruach, a person blows into a flame, and the wind comes and turns it into a fire, and the fire goes out and damages the neighbor's field. So the Gemara says that if the person's breath could have made this into a fire without the wind, so then he's going to be chayv. That's considered to be his maises if he did it. But if he could not have done that with his own breath, it's the wind that actually made this flame into a fire, then it's potter. The Gemara says the same thing about Basa, about a person who's winnowing, in other words, the sugya is raksa, a person has certain chaff that he wants to separate from the crop. And he holds it up, and the wind comes and takes the chaff into the neighbor's field and causes damage in the neighbor's field. The Maharaj says, since the wind did it, so it was done by the wind. But the Gemara asks, but Maishna, why is it different than Zoyra v'ruach nesayosa? One of the malachas on Shabbos is Zoyra. Zoyra means winnowing. It's like separating the psoilet, the chaff, from the wheat. If you will hold it up in the wind on Shabbos and do the melecha zoyre of separating the chaff from the wheat, that's chayim. Shabbos is chayim. So why in Ezekiel, why in damages your father and in Shabbos is chayim? The Gemara says, because in Shabbos melechas machsheves asotayim. The Torah forbade melechas machsheves, your intention to do melecha. Masha'enkin groma ben Ezekiel, ben Ezekiel is in groma amul. The Gemara says in Ezekiel in damages is only a groma. And the Zikin is only a groma, it's in direct effort spotted. But Shabbos, Melech has not Shabbos, so it seems to say that even a groma is going to be chayv. So from this Gemara, it seems to indicate that groma and Shabbos is much more serious than it would be by Nizokin. Yeah.
Isn't there a case on Shabbos that if there is a fire,
yeah,
it's progressing, you put barrels
in the direction, we're going to speak of that.
That's groma, and
the barrels. That's right, that's one of the theories. We just said that groma and Shabbos is chayiv. And now you brought up the Gemara that says that if there's a fire, you can fill up barrels of water, put it in front of the fire explodes the barrels, and the water basically extinguishes the fire, and that's groma and that's mutter. There's another Gemara that says, as far as damage is concerned, that a person took an animal and placed him over his neighbor's field. So it's chayiv. Pesach says that either because of regel or for shame, because the animal actually destroyed the growth over there. And the Rashba says that it's other mazik, it's as if he had done a mitzvah by putting the animal in front of the neighbor's grass. So then it's an other mitzvah, it's a chitzov. It's a person that threw an arrow and started mowing the lawn with this animal that he's placed over the neighbor's field. And it's chayv. Nizikin, it's chayv for damages. But the Gemara says, a mamit behema agabe eitzah b'shavus, is moter. A person puts an animal on top of his own grass, degrade, yeah, and the animal that's being is doing a malacha, is uprooting, is doing toilets, is uprooting the grass from the ground, yeah. The Gemara says that's mutter. It seems to be, it's only a grumma. It's only a grumma. And Shabbos, in these two cases, is more lenient than Nizakim. There's also a goin. The goin says, in Shinyodalad, he brings the halacha of Mesikin, the kelim the yontif. On yontif, you're allowed to make a fire, you're allowed to throw things into the firewood, into the fire to fuel the fire, and you're allowed to even put kelim, vessels, into the fire to add fuel to the fire. Because Melachas Yontif, that's when Melachas Yontif was mutter, to pass the fire, and the Allah is even to put kelim in the fire. Ask the Goyim, how can you put a kelim in the fire? How can you put a vessel in the fire? The stira on the kelim. Stira on the kelim, you're taking apart the kelim by throwing it into the fire. Yeah? Stira means that you're taking apart this vessel by throwing it to the fire. Stira is a malacha, which is also in Yontif. Says the Goyim says, because it's grammar. It's stira through grammar. You're taking apart the kli through grammar. You didn't do it directly. You threw it to the fire. Now it's obvious if you take your friend's keli and throw it into a fire, as far as nezikin is concerned, you're going to be having damages. So here, we have certain sources that indicate that Shabbos is much more lenient as far as grammar is concerned than nezikin. So the question is, how do you sort this out? So there's, that's right, but where's the heter of steer to break, to take apart a kelly? Steer is not there. Yeah. Right. So he says it's grama. The guy says the heter to put in a kelly is grama. It's only grama. Grama is mutter. And as far as damages, lada, it's not a grama. It's only some sure feet. So to throw something into fire and it burns. So the machloek is actually in Tversky between the Chazanish and the Hartzvi on this issue. Chazanish in Or Chaim. Very, very interesting. Very interesting halacha says over there that if a person presses a button of a machine that does harisha, which is a plowing machine, so even though all he did was press a button, but that button set certain wheels into motion and started a whole chain of events. Yeah, that's considered a ma'aseh on Shabbos and it's chayiv. What is Raya? The Vincent Kayesa, in Baba Kama, the same sugi that we said, Liba Olif Saruach, a person made a flame, and the wind turned it, and the wind brought it. So if he made the flame with his mouth without the wind, so that's chitz of it, as if he threw an arrow. Kayesa over there says, that a person lights a candle, Erev Shabbos. And that candle continues to burn on Shabbos. So we say chitzov, which is as if he threw an arrow, as if that he's continuing to throw this arrow off from Shabbos, as if he's lighting a fire on Shabbos. Kiyosef asks this question. So says in Kiyosef that chitzov means the first maisa that he did with his hand. When he released the bow, when he released the arrow, that was his gift. Everything that happens afterwards is the direct result of that release of the bow. That's chitzov. So since he released the bow, in a sense, Erev Shabbos, by lighting that candle, yeah? So whatever happened afterwards followed what happened Erev Shabbos. His mitzvah started Erev Shabbos. It didn't start on Shabbos. One of the rayas he brings to this is a person, for example, literally released an arrow. And then he had a heart attack before the arrow went and did damage. Avalei b'chayif. You'd be chayv as if he was still alive when the damage occurred because his ma'aseh did begin when he was alive. So it's as if at the moment he was alive, that's when he made the damage. So Memele says when he lights a candle, yeah. So then everything that happens afterwards is his ma'aseh. Memele says if he press a button, that is the release of that is the shooting of the arrow, and everything that happens afterwards is your ma'aseh. So therefore, if you press a button on Shabbos, even though everything else happened through a kind of a grumma, because everything else was said in event, but that began from that button, so that's a mice of Shabbos in your house. Yeah. What's that?
Isn't that case in some heads?
Yeah.
Where he shoots an arrow at an object, or something, and it kills somebody else. It kills somebody.
Yeah.
I think, I can't remember what the result was, but I think, I think it's not considered as if you killed the person.
Unless you remove the shield, the Gemara says if there was a shield, then you remove the shield. That's something else. There was a mug. The Gemara says you shot an arrow, it was a shield, and you remove the shield.
But you think it's not ever in the gun, no?
Now the Chazanish says another thing, that if normally the malach is done with an animal, you plow with an animal. The animal is normally the instrument of the activity. The animal is the one plows, and all you did was to put the plowshare into the ground. It's seemingly insignificant, but because that is the mindset that a person does when he plows, so then he's going to be chayiv, even though the animal did the malach. But you put the plowshare in the ground, and the animal continued to plow. But because that's the derech of how you do the balacha, so then that's the mindset you're going to be chayv. But on the other hand, the Chazanish says that if normally you would plow by yourself, either manually or with a machine, and instead of that you let the animal do the balacha for you, yeah, you plow with an animal, so then you're going to be chayv.
Just be clear on something.
Yeah.
Yes, you were talking before. Did I understand that if you light a candle before Shabbos?
Yeah. Before Shabbos, yeah.
Right? That it's the same as pressing a button on Shabbos?
Yeah. No, the raya was, if you light a candle before Shabbos, so your mice is at the moment that you light the candle. So as far as lighting a candle on Shabbos, you don't have a problem. But if on Shabbos you press a button, so that pressing the button is that same mice. That's another thing. Even though everything happened afterwards, everything goes back to that moment of pressing the button. That is your mice of Shabbos. So that's why on Shabbos you're going to be fine.
If you light your candle before Shabbos,
yeah.
We're saying that it continues, the malacha continues on Shabbos, like when you shoot an arrow beforehand, yeah. And it's still considered as if you did the malacha after you're dead, for instance. So here as well.
The point was that everything that happens is from that first moment when you released the bone, the arrow went. That's when the mice occurred.
If you're lighting your
so if it happened Erev Shabbos, everything happened Erev Shabbos. There's no
everything
problem.
Happened
everything yeah. happened Erev Shabbos. That's it. But if you did it on Shabbos, so everything happened the moment you pressed the button. But he says that if the animal does the malacha, and normally a person is the one that is the person does the malacha manually, so then you're going to be potter. Why? Because he says the Chazanish that on Shabbos, yeah, it's the toil of the malacha which is aser, and since you didn't toil with the malacha. Your animal did the malacha, is not a problem. What's this raya? The raya is what we said, that if you take an animal and you put it over the grass, so the animal actually did the malacha, you didn't do anything, and we said that it's possible if the animal ate the grass from Shabbos. Whereas as a nizokin, if you took an animal and you put the animal in your neighbor's field and he tore up the grass and did damage over there, so then you're going to be chayv. Why is this a chazanish? Because nizokin is the result that we're worried about. The result was damage. The result was damaged, so you're going to be chayv. But shegenkin on Shabbos, where you have to toil, and you didn't toil, the animal toil, that's the Chazanish says, is the...
So for your animal...
That's normally, if an animal normally plows, the animal's not... You're right. If normally the animal plows, the Chazanish also says. If normally the animal plows, that's a malach on Shabbos. But if normally your animal doesn't plow, the person plows by his hands, with his own hands, with machines. He did it with an animal. So he says, that's like putting an animal on grass. That's what Chazanish says. The high tree comes, and he doesn't understand this Chazanish from beginning to end. He says, what are you talking about, first of all, the damages? So it's the outcome that we're concerned about. And grandma's always going to be chayiv. Where Shabbos, you have to toil. And if you don't toil, so then you're not going to be chayiv. We brought that Gemara, the high tree says, where we see the exact opposite conclusion that on Shabbos if you do Zorah Baruach, if you separate the psoilus, the chaff from the crop, yeah, through the wind, yeah, that's going to be chayim. But if you did it but mezoking, and mezoking which was done through a Brahma fashion, if you did damage which is done in Brahma, Brahma's potter on Shabbos, so Shabbos is much more chamor. Shabbos is much more chamor than Nizikin. That's what he asked. He asked more for, moreover.
If it's true that there's such a definition that on Shabbos you have to toil in Melacha to be chayav, if you don't toil, you're not going to be chayav. So why did the Mukhi Nisik have to go to such lengths to explain why, if you light a candle Erev Shabbos, yeah, you're not going to be chayav for that candle to continue to burn on Shabbos? It's very simple. You didn't toil on Shabbos. You lit the candle. You didn't do any toil on it. You didn't toil on Shabbos. Of course, the chazanish should be a problem. Why didn't you use it? Have to come to whole hezber that your mice began Erev Shabbos. So he doesn't like what the chazanish says as far as the comparison between Nezokin and Shabbos. Because the chazanish comes out that Shabbos is more lenient and Nezokin is more chamur. And according to Hatzri, he says in the Gemara three stars, this is the exact opposite. I, the chazanish, has a problem that there seems to be a stira as far as taking an animal and damaging the neighbor's field, which is chayiv, and if it was only grazing and on the Shabbos, that would be fine. So it says that actually that's not such a big problem. That already the Eben Ezer in Shinkaf Ches and Shabbos already discusses this issue of why it is we have this distinction. The Eben Ezer takes issue with the Magen Avraham. The Magen Avraham speaks about a certain halacha which is brought down in the Shulchan Aruch that there's no shvita, there ain't shvita's kelim in Shabbos. On Shabbos, your kelim are not doing malachas. In other words, if you put grapes in a wine press on Shabbos, Erev Shabbos, you put and you put the boards of the wine press over the grapes or over the olives, and you just squeeze that over Shabbos, there's no problem. Or another example is mugmer, that if you put fragrance Erev Shabbos over garments and they continue through the Shabbos that the fire would actually continue to give a certain smell into the garments. So over Shabbos is not the notion of scaling on Shabbos. And the Shulchan Aruch says that if you put wheat in a Rechaim Shalmayim in a grinder which is churned by the water, yeah, so you can also do that Erev Shabbos. Says the Magen Avraham, says, what do you mean you can do that Erev Shabbos? You can also do that on Shabbos. You can put wheat inside a Mechaim Shalmayim, a grinder which is turned around, the wheels are turned by water, right? A watermill. Yeah? Okay. A watermill, you can do that on Shabbos itself. Because only a hand grinder, if you grind it with a hand grinder on Shabbos, that's awesome. That's the Magen Avraham says. Says the Magen Avraham, what do you say such a, how can you say such a thing? We just said that Groma and Shabbos is also, we brought that Gemara, right, that Zoya Beruach, if you take the wheat and you hold it up in the wind, and the wind came and separated, that's a Malacha which is done through Groma, and Malacha and Shabbos through Groma is also. So why should the water grinder be any different? You have a Gemara that says that Nizokin seems to be more serious. She says, no, Nizokin is not more serious than Shabbos. That Gemara that says, in fact, it seems to be a steer. On the one hand, we said that there's a Gemara in Nizokin that says if you put your animal over the neighbor's field and it does damage to the field, right, that's a Gemara Nizokin is higher. On the other hand, the Gemara said that if you hold up chaff in the wind and the wind takes to the neighbor's field and damages, or a fire goes, but with the wind, that's Gemara which is potter. So it's Gemara Nizokin higher, it's Gemara Nizokin potter. So says the Eben Ezer, that it depends on whether it's Bari Azeka or not Bari Azeka. Bari Azeka means that it's going to be a foregone conclusion. It's a definite, ongoing result that has to take place. That's called Bari Azeka. It's damage that has to happen. There's no doubt that's going to happen. So if you take your animal and you put it over your neighbor's field and it starts ruining the growth over there, that's Bari Azeka. That's damage that's guaranteed to happen. So in such a case, those kind of damages are going to be awesome. But if you take a flame and the wind comes and takes it to the neighbor's field, or you hold up wheat in the wind and the wind comes and takes the chaff, that's not Bari Azeka. It's not 100%. It's not a foregone conclusion that there has to be a necessary damage that's going to. It's a sophic. It may happen. It may not happen. It's not a Bari Azeka, and that kind of a grammar is false. So a grammar which is a Bari Azeka in the Zikin is going to be chayav. A goma which is not a Bari Azeka, which is not a definite likelihood that's necessarily going to happen, that's goma that's possible. But Shabbos, every goma is possible. And this Shabbos, why? Because Malach is not Shabbos as a Torah, and no matter what you did to a goma on Shabbos, going to be up. That's what we stand above, a Kavim Bobas. That's what he says. And Memeila, he says, if you put wheat into a water mill, So it's very, that you do on Shabbos, it's a grom, but it's going to, there's values. So according to Ibn Oizer, and according to the Har Tzvi, it comes out that Shabbos is much more chamor than Nizokin, than damages, because Shabbos, every grom is always going to be chayiv. Nizokin depends. If it's very sick, it will be chayiv. If it's not very sick, it won't be chayiv. Now the question is the Magen Avraham himself. The Magen Avraham himself, when he said that you could put actual wheat in a hand grinder, in a water grinder on Shabbos with mutter, how do we understand? How can he say this? It seems to contradict the Chayyus Gemara that we brought in Bava Kam and Bava Zal. So there's some cipher on the spot that says that we can learn a new pshat in the Gemara. And the Rosh actually says this, Pshat in the Gemara, of Liba V'Livsa Ruach, that when you put a flame, and the flame went with the wind to the neighbor, to the field, yeah? So that is a groma in Nizokin, which we say is potter, because it's not definitely going to happen to damage. It may happen, may not. It's just all. But Shabbos Melechas Nachshavas Asa Torah, when you Zayir Baruach, when you take the winnowing fork, and you put it in the wind, yeah? So the Gemara says, Malach is not Shabbos also Torah. The Gemara is not saying that Grom is also on Shabbos. The Gemara is saying that is the Tzuras on Malacha, that's how the Malacha of Zaira is done. That is the Maisa of Zaira. That is how you do Malach and Zaira. You take it up, you place in the wind, and the wind comes and separates the psoilus, the chaff, and the wind. So that is the Maisa Malacha. So whenever ever a Maisa Malacha is done, in a way which happens in Meila, that is the mighty Malach. On Shabbos, there are many Malachas that happen that way. Bishul is an example of that. You put something in the oven and cooks. You don't cook it with your hand, but that's the mighty of Bishul. It's not a grumma. It's not a grumma. You're not doing Bishul through a grumma. That's the mighty of Bishul. That's the only way to do it. Seder is another example. Traffic on Shabbos. How do you do it? You set a trap. On Shabbos, and the animal's trapped. So even though it happens, L'chayram and Meiler, but that is the mice, you can't do it anymore directly with that. So this is a mice malacha. These kind of malachas which are done through, in a Meiler fashion, this is how they were, and this is how they were done in the Mishkan. These are malachas, these are mice and malachas, this is how they were found in the Mishkan. That's going to be awesome on Shabbos. But Grom is not going to be awesome on Shabbos. So therefore he says, that this is what the Magen Avraham meant. That if you grind with a hand grinder, so that's how you, that was teichin, that's how you ground, that's how they ground in the Mishkan. But if you do it in a water mill, that's not how they did teichin, that's not how they grinded in the Mishkan. So it's only a grama. Grama, according to Magen Avraham and Shabbos, is not there. Yeah.
The Chazonish doesn't agree with Seiko.
Hmm?
The Chazonish doesn't agree with Seiko. He doesn't agree with that Jesus that said, that's well over days.
That what?
About Seiko. He says, you only chayiv if you put the net right on the ankle, not if you set the net.
No, if that's the derech.
What is the chazanish?
I want to tell you that the chazanish learned like the Magen Avraham. This is what the chazanish meant. What the chazanish is a very strange definition. The chazanish says you have to toil on Shabbos. You know, where do you get the definition of you have to toil on Shabbos? But the chazanish meant was that you have to do a malacha the way it was done in the Mishkan, the malacha of the Mishkan. So if you're toiling in the malacha the way it was done in the Mishkan, yeah, so then you're going to be chayav on Shabbos. But if you're doing it in a way which is not done in the Mishkan, yeah, if you do it in a different manner than it was done in the Mishkan, so according to the Chazanish, you're not going to be chayav. That's why according to the Chazanish could be very well go according to the line of this Hezbollah and the Magen Avraham, as the Goyim can also be explained that way. The Goyim said, how can you do steer the kelim on Shabbos by throwing it into a fire and have the fire take apart the kelim? The answer is because that's not how steer was done in the Mishkan. Yeah. That's not how you take apart a kli by throwing it into a fire. So Mamela, according to this definition, it comes out, yeah, that malachas that are done in the Maisa Malacha is done in a way which is Mamela. So this is the Maisa Malacha on Shabbos. But a grama on Shabbos is going to be mutter according to this.
If we say a water mill is water, yeah, even though nowadays, maybe not in this 21st century, but certainly 100 years ago, that was the normal way of milling.
Very good point. Very good point.
So then that means that we can put a light switch on.
So the Achi Yeter says an explanation which is similar to the Chassam Sofer, except that he differs from this point that you're making. He also agrees with the Chassam Sofer and the Magen Avraham that Grom is not also on Shabbos. Gomer is not also on Shabbos. But if a malacha is done, not the way it was done in the Mishkan, the malacha is done in the normal way that it's done. The normal way that it's done is in a mamela fashion. So then that's going to be off on Shabbos. According to Achiezer, he disagrees with the Mogen HaPram in this part, in this specific point, that if you put wheat in a water mill, it will be off on Shabbos because that is how people grind. That's how people grind nowadays. That's how most people grind. So if that this is the Derech HaMaloche, if this is Derech HaMaloche, so then it's going to be off on Shabbos. But if you do the malacha in a way which is different than the regular way of doing the malacha, so that is not together. Malacha, that's not going to be also from the Torah on Shabbos. So we see over here that there's kind of two schools. There's one school that are poskim that hold that every grum on Shabbos is always going to be osur, and the zikin, some grumas are going to be osur, some grumas are not going to be osur. It depends if it's very hezekah, if it's definitely going to occur the damage or not. And there's another school that holds no. Two completely different parshas. There's no Isra of Groma and Shabbos. On Shabbos, if you do a Maisa Malacha, which is done in an inevitable fashion, which is the derech of the Malacha is to done, that the Malacha is more or less concluded by itself, that is the Maisa Malacha on Shabbos. But Stam Groma and Shabbos is not going to be awesome. Now there are other poskim that reinforce this view, that there's a big difference between Gromas on Shabbos and Gromis and Nizik. One of the opinions is there's a Nimibina. Nimibina brings a raya. Nimibina says, what's the biggest damage that we know? The biggest damage we know in Nizikin is a tzicha. It kills someone. Now, in Nizikin there's a cloud. And all the mut, the oilam, a person damages, yeah, he's always mut, he's always chayav on his activities. He's always a mitzvah. With tzicha, we don't have this problem. The person kills, we don't say he's always, in every case, he's considered to be a rotzeah. The one brings an example in Sanhedrin, that if you tie the person's hands, yeah, and then you reroot it. The channel of water to come over the person, and the person died. Yeah, so then that's not considered to be a ma'aser tzicha. It's not considered to be a direct ma'aser tzicha. Even though to damage something that way, it would be also. But the tzicha is not the way. So he says, here you have an example of something which is a super nezik. Yeah, it's the highest level, and nevertheless, the Gemara makes distinctions between between the zikin and the tzicha. Not everything that's going to be chayv in the zikin is going to be chayv and tzicha. So if we make a distinction, we can find certain things that are chayv as far as the zikin is concerned, and not the zikha. So how much more should we say that those things that we find, which are grumas and the zikin, why should we say that these grumas are going to be also in Shabbos? If the zikin is so close, if mitzicha is so close, murder is so close to damage, and yet we don't say that grum in one is going to be a mechayv in a grum of damage will be a mechayv in mitzicha. So certainly won't say a grum in mitzicha will be a mechayv in Shabbos. So basically it comes out, yeah, that we said that there's two schools. There's one school that all the nezikin that we know about that are done by grum in damages are certainly going to be mechayv in Shabbos. And there's another school of posting that hold that they're two completely parshas and they have nothing to do with each other. Ma'is and Shabbos is going to be Osir, Agrom and Shabbos is going to be Mut. Now, according to that, we can explain, go back to the case that we spoke about before. A person takes barrels of water, yeah, and he places them before the fire. And the Gemara says that's Mut and Shabbos. Right? So what's the explanation of that? So we can have explanation according to each school that we say. If we say that only the things which are the derech hamalacha, the way normally you do hamalacha on Shabbos, that's going to be chayav, and things which are a deviation from the derech haregius hamalacha are not going to be chayav. So everybody knows that if you extinguish a fire by filling up barrels of water in front of the fire, that's not a way, that's not kibui, that's not the way you put out a fire. So that's why Gomer is going to be mutter. And if you say that grumas in Ezekiel are going to be chayv, so certainly are the more so in Shabbos. So you have to say that not every grama in Shabbos, even according to those that hold that there's a, that grama's been nizik in archayev, that grama in Shabbos is going to be chayev. A grama in Shabbos more or less will have the same kind of definition as grama nizik. If on Shabbos, yeah, a person is going to be in a situation where the grama in Shabbos is like a bari hezek, it's something that has to happen, and then it's going to be awesome. But if you put a barrel of water in front of the fire, it's not a vaday that that's going to happen. It's not a vaday that's going to happen. It could be that the barrels will burst and there'll be so much water that the fire will go out. It could be it won't happen. It's not like Zohar Baruch on Shabbos. When you put on Shabbos, you put the winnowing on Shabbos, when you put the wheat in the air, and the air does a maleches boire, right? According to through grama, but it's definitely it's a vada that's going to happen. It's for sure that this is a grama that's definitely going to take place on Shabbos. There's no doubt that the wind is going to separate the chaff from the wheat. So that kind of a grama on Shabbos is vada like a bori is like it's for sure going to take place. So that kind of grama is going to be awesome on Shabbos. But a grama which is not 100%. What's very interesting about this definition is it's the same chiluk that we made in the Zikin. That we said that there are certain grammas in Nizikin which are chayiv and certain grammas in Nizikin which are pasul. That same chiluk of bari hazeka fits the same definition on Shabbos. A bari hazeka on Shabbos, something which is definitely going to happen, that's a gramma that's going to be awesome. Something which is not definitely going to happen on Shabbos.
I don't understand how we can talk about Zira as in any way or form as being a grum, because that is the malacha.
Yeah, that's what we said. That's how the Mogen Avraham learned, and that's how Chasam Sofer explained the Pshat, but that's not how the Tzvi brought it down, and that's not how the Eben Ezer said. Eben Ezer said that from this Gemara of Zohar, we see that grum is also on Shabbos, but we explained that not every grum is going to be off on Shabbos. What's the raya? The biggest raya is, we just spoke about putting the barrels of water in front of the fire, that's a grama which is mutter. The Gemara speaks about mekaret kibuyo. What's because the Mishnah? The Mishnah Memzayim Shabbos says, you take a dish of water, you're not allowed to put it in front of a candle, because the nitzotzes, the sparks, the nitzotzes are going to go into this dish of water. So everybody asks, all the Shonim in the Sugya says, what happened to grama kibuyo? We have this in the Mishnah that you can take barrels of water.
Exactly.
That's the chiluk, and that's the raya that the same chiluk that we said between bari hazeka to explain why grammas and nizikin certain grammas are going to be osur if it's a bari hazeka, it's a foregone conclusion is necessarily going to happen vis-a-vis a gramma which is only a doubt that's going to happen. The same thing is true about Shabbos. When you put a dish of water in front of a candle which is throwing out sparks, so immediately the sparks are going to go out. So that's a bari hazeka. That's something that's definitely. It's about to going to happen.
But
they can, yeah? But that's the Derech HaMalacha. You're right. But if you say Grumman.
That's what he said.
But the Chazanis, I hear what you're saying.
The Chazanis, you're only chayiv if you put the net over the animal.
Uh-huh.
And not setting the trap.
I hear what you're saying. In any event, there's another. Another chiluk that Rishonim bring, why the barrels of water is mutter and Shabbos is because they say that there's a mechitza. The barrels are actually the water is separated from the fire through by the barrels. So the mechitza actually, so it's as if the mice that you did was like broken up. It was like a caught shining. It wasn't a direct a result of your activity. It was that you actually have to the fire has to consume the barrel, and then the barrel will burst the water, and it's a whole. It's not direct at all. Mashenk in the choices as soon as it goes into the dish. There's no barrier. There's nothing separating the fire from the water. So that's why that's going to be us.
But if you put the dish of water before Shabbos in front of the table, the Mishnah says you can't do it.
No, what, before Shabbos? That's what it says. It says that you can't.
Temporary Shabbos, it's not because you might come to do it on Shabbos.
Okay, but the right to someone, the right is a few.
It's an exception.
So after saying all that, now we can go back to the question of these electronic activities that are being activated by walking in the streets, right? By walking in the streets and setting the motion, all these kind of results that are actually consequence to your walking or to coming to the shul and being filmed and all this is. All these grumbles that are happening on Shabbos, how does it relate to the two schools that we spoke about? So if we say that the gather, is that there's a difference between a grumme and a garmi, that a grumme, which is something which is not definitely going to happen, it doesn't happen right away, it's going to happen later on, so Masha Inkin Garmi is something that happens immediately, it has to happen, so then it really depends on the Messias of the device that we're talking about. How it works, does it work through a Garmi, through a Varyazekin kind of manner, something which is inevitable, it definitely has to happen, so in such a case it's going to be Osir, or does it work in a Grumma, it's a kind of delayed reaction, it happens later on, it is not for sure going to happen, so then those things in that Grumma are not going to be problematic. Every situation you have to analyze in terms of how the device works. And in fact, the Machon Halacha, a technology of Halacha in Yerushalayim, one of the things they did in setting up hospitals that you have to use equipment on Shabbos was to turn every garmi into a grumma, that it shouldn't happen right away. It's called it's a gadget that they have, which is called a mafse grumma. It's something that delays the reaction, it turns it around, it's hasar samaneya. They built it in such a way that it doesn't work the regular way, it works in a grumma fashion. So, because they said that's the chiluk, agamia Shabbos is also a grummer, and Shabbos is not us. But there are this other approach that is not true. That the garmis are also on Shabbos and the grummers are mutter on Shabbos. Is not how it is. There's absolutely no difference. If the device is programmed to work in a certain way, that's the derech hamalacha. And if you change it around, it's not going to make any difference. Because you're going to have the exact same result. So basically, it's working the same way. So it doesn't make any difference if when you're walking the streets, it happens in a grumma way, it happens in a garmi way, because this is how these machines work, and this is the way these machines normally work. So you haven't changed anything if it seems to work in a grumma way. And therefore, there are many poskim that disagree with the shita of the Machon HaTechnologim Halacha, and they hold that this grumma device, this mafse grumma, it doesn't make any difference whatsoever. Abba Yosef holds that way, and Rabban Safran holds that way, because they hold like the poskim that the Ma'aseh Malacha is the way, the regulus of how the thing actually is set up to work. And since it has to do with the regulus, the way it has to work, we're going to have a major problem at Shabbos. There is an important thing to know, and that is that the Gemara says this is actually the Avnei Nezer brings this down. Look how we have a problem over here. The Gemara says Melechas Ma'asheves also Tera. Melechas Ma'asheves also Tera. The Gemara never said that what's going to be awesome Shabbos if the Melech is done in the regular way that the Melech is through a Grumman situation. The Gemara didn't say that this is Derech HaMelech, that's what's going to be awesome. Well, the Gemara didn't say that Grumman Shabbos also. The Gemara says Melechas Ma'asheves also Tera. Melechas Ma'asheves means that the intention to the Melech, that is what caused the Melech to be awesome. In every case that we spoke about, you had no intention to set off all of these electronic reactions. You're walking anyway, and these things happen automatically. So it's no malachas machshavas. When the Gemara spoke about when you had this winnowing fork in the air, and you were separating the chaff, the psoles,
from the wheat. That's what you want to do. You want to do Malachas Barrier. You want to do that separation. That's why it's also in Shabbos. But if your intention was not to set, to cause this automatic reaction of events that was triggered off, so the Chared, that's not Malachas, not Shabbos. The problem is that, it's a Dovashin in his cabin, but it's a secretion. It's something that has to happen. It's a secretion of secretions also. So on this, there's an Avnei Nezer. Avnei Nezer says an unbelievable fact. Avnei Nezer says that when we say secretions also, if you're doing a mice, but if the second pole or the second activity is done through a grammar, that secretion is not going to be nice. What's his riot? A Rashba. The Rashba says that if you're sitting in a door and you're basically blocking or you close the door, you close the door, and there's a tzvi, and there's a deer sitting in the house, yeah, so you close the door, you're not going to chayav melechus steak on Shabbos. Why? Because you're not doing a mice in the deer. You're not doing any trapping with the deer. You're doing a mice in the door. This is doing mice in the door. The deer is only being trapped. The grama, yeah, so that secretion is not going to be out on Shabbos. So the Rashba, and according to that, says the Avnei Nezer, that any Dovah Shem is coming, something that you're not doing with an intention to do a Malachan Shabbos, if it happens in a grammar manner, so it's not going to be Malachan Shabbos. We have other examples of that. The Mishnah Berurah, the Shechalah brings down that if you have a fire, it's burning in the fireplace, and there's a window in front of this fire, and you close the window on Shabbos, yeah? So what happened was while the window was open, so the wind was fueling the fire. When you close the window, so the fire's going to go down. You're going to be causing a kibbutz. You're going to be causing a kind of this thing of the fire. He says no, because you're doing mice in the window. You're not doing mice in the fire. Or conversely, let's say you had a candle burning, and by closing the door, so the candle is not flickering anymore. The candle is not burning very well. You're doing a havara.
In the winter, if you open your window,
yeah,
the thermostat goes on and the heating goes on because you open the window.
Right. So according to this, I mean, there's no problem. And therefore, it's not a problem in terms of all these things that are happening. The problem is that we don't pass them like this. Pass them like the Ran. The Ran holds that even a psikration, which is done in a grown manner, if you sat in the doorway and the tzvi and the deer was trapped, that's also in Shabbos. And since the Mishnah Berurah passes like the Ran, and Allah might be passing, so then all of these things that happen, even though we didn't have any intention to do it, but these are going to be problems on Shabbos. So the eighth is, the Allah might is that if you're going to a town and you don't know where you have these electronic devices, well, let's say Los Angeles, almost every other street over there has the houses with the automatic lights, has pedestrians. You don't know. You don't know which. So you sound like you're walking. You have no idea what you're going to set up or not. You don't know which buildings have cameras, which buildings don't have cameras. You're going your way. I've come told me that an example of this is satellites in the air. When the satellites, wherever you're walking, you're being filmed. So on the other hand, you know that this house has a light. And the pedestrian walk in front of it. And you know that you're going to stand. And there's a way to go around it without setting off. So then you have, because of this run, you have to try to divert it. What do you do about cameras? Now this is a big problem with shuls. What do you do about shuls? Because many, many shuls will not get security unless you fix the camera in the shul. So the Bachlat Technology says that you should do like this. The best thing is to have like a blind spot. In other words, that is a blind spot that only the balabatim, the regular shul goers, know exactly that. And somebody who's not local, so he'll be sure. But sometimes they won't allow that. So what he says what to do. Also, it's very important to know that the different kinds of cameras. There's cameras that only film you as you're walking, but they don't store the film. They don't store the film. You can't get a replay. You can't see what happened. Then that's not a problem with Chalal on Shabbos walking in front of this guy. It's like looking in a mirror and seeing your image in the mirror. But if the camera works in such a way that it actually stores the film and that you can replay, that's a problem of ksiva. of Koisev and other problems involved. So if we don't have a problematic chemist, he says what to do is to have the chemist stop every few seconds, or every few minutes to stop a few seconds. So therefore it's a suffix secret. It's not for sure that you're going to go through the camera at the time that... So therefore his answer is to set the camera in such a way that you break it up in intervals. So there's two types of
cameras. There's one which you activate by your movement when you walk.
Yeah.
As soon as it notices something moving, so it will start.
Yeah.
But then there's loop system cameras where they're continuously filming.
Right.
And if they're continuously filming, then I don't see what's the problem on Shabbos. Because the same with the satellites are filming whether you walk in the street or not.
The difference is that you're actually attaching this camera to your shoe. And you're benefiting from storing this information, this camera, and having people being filmed in it. The satellites, you have nothing. There's nothing. It's out of your control. You can't.
You're benefiting from your Shabbos clock switching your lights on Shabbos as well. You're benefiting from
your Shabbos. By the way, with the security in South Africa, one of the suggestions that they said. But we spoke about this problem, this crime, there is this crime Friday night, the Shabbos, and they're going for sure. But the answer was either to put the alarm on the Shabbos clock, or according to the Shitas that do hold that you can use a mafsei grama, this thing that changes every garmi into a grama, so they say that you can attach the alarm to the mafsei grama and have it activated in such a way. But that's only if you rely, according to those opinions, that the mafsei groma is a heter on Shabbos. And there's the other authorities that are more machmir that say it has to do with how the melacha normally works, so you didn't really gain anything. So you have to try to circumvent it if there's a way to do it.
The only difference then between walking in the snow on Shabbos and such a camera is that you're saying that the camera that you're having hanah from it. Is that the difference?
What's if I'm walking with snow on Shabbos?
If you're making imprints in the snow.
What about in the hospital though? I mean, if you follow the stricter line that you've mentioned, then
Shari Tenek Hospital, which is a firm hospital, does use the devices, but there are folks team that hold that. The heter is that he's a choile, so you the choile has you're not making it more mutter for a choile by changing it from a garmi to a drama. That's how something goes. Well, you didn't gain anything. The reason you're using the person is sick, and you have to be treated. That's all. So you can do certain derabonins. You can do it. It's not dangerous. You can do the derabonins.
No.
So then you become less of a derabonin by using a mask.
Right.
What? You don't have to make all these gadgets and masks. All right.